This is the Mercedes Lucky Benedict Show, coming to you live on Web Radio Network. Hello, everyone. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Mercedes Lucky Benedict Show. We are so happy to have everyone here listening with us. And I am back from a 6-week hiatus off of the show while I've been filming the new documentary that I'm working on, Shadows of the Desert. And while I was on this hiatus, I was so lucky to be able to be a guest on this incredible man's show last week, Mr. Mike Wagner, on the Mike Wagner Show. Yay! We need like an applause. And Mike is here with us tonight to be the first person. I call it season two on my show because it feels like that to me. So, Mike Wagner, thank you so much for being here on your busy schedule, your busy day, and just to take time to be with us on this show with me tonight. Thank you.
Well, it's great to be on Mercedes as well, too. And thanks for having us. I've never been on a podcast where they say we're starting a season this, a season that, and everything else. And I have to say this, to be the headliner to kick off season two or any cousin season, even season one, season five, 10, 100, whatever it is, it's like, it is such an honor. And I'm glad you rolled out the red carpet for me. And I'm sure you had to get that clean during your 6 weeks at that time too. So I guess we're kind of rolling out red carpets, but you know, one day it's got to get clean, but then it's just like, you know, with new technology, it gets cleaned automatically. So thanks for having me on your show as well too. And I'm looking forward to what you got. And welcome back, by the way.
Thank you. And you know what? You're so funny. Last week when I was talking to you, I'm like, this guy is so witty. I was going to have to keep up with you, but yeah, that's so funny. Well, it feels like, you know, like I've done television before, like you go away and then you come back season two. So to me, why not?
It just kind of feels like Netflix as well, too. And of course, you know, with the strike going on as well, too, it's like if the strike is over, is there going to be another season? I guess you kind of wonder about that. So it's like everything kind of just ties into place. You know, Netflix always has a season or, you know, let's say with Amazon Prime and everything else. And of course, nowadays it's like, you know, what is a season? So I'm glad to help you kick off season two. And I look forward to having you more and more and more great guests and everything else. And it is quite an honor to start season two. so elated. What could I say?
Well, you know, I just want to know so much. I've researched you and I've listened to all your things and I've talked to you, I've been on your show. And I just think you're just quite amazing. So I would like to, can you just tell us, what made you, Mike, what made you this amazing person? How did this begin that you began this show and all that you do? You really go out and help people with music. I love that. I love that we got to talk about my music on your show. It made me feel so good to be able to express my musical side out to somebody. And I appreciate that very much. So tell me about how did this begin for you? You know, what made you you?
Well, basically, let's just go all the way back for you American listeners, the Wayback Machine, according to Mr. Peter Ian Sherman. And for those who are living in the UK and beyond, we just hop into the TARDIS, good doctor. So either way, we're going to start off just going by the Wayback Machine. Of course, you know, being a kid myself, it's like, you know, I'll be 59 coming up, by the way, this Thursday as well as we're speaking and getting close to 60. So, yeah, happy birthday. Thank you.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Wow.
Thank you. It's going to be like, a few days coming up, but just going to Wayback Machine, being close to 60, growing up in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Of course, you got the land of Pabst Blue Ribbon Beer, Miller Beer, and then later Harley-Davidson kind of took over the whole industry. It's like the beer capital of the world. So, just kind of growing up, have a little beer, have a little fun. And 9 months later, my folks are like, "Oh, we're moving to Racine." So we packed our bags and moved. He moved me and my two older sisters, who are a bit older than I am and everything else, and maybe like they're what, one, three, whatever it is. And just went to Racine, where it's like the home of the Kringle and Johnson Public, Western Publishing, all those fun coloring books, kids books, Johnson Wax, and of course you got the Case IH, which is like rival to John Deere for your agriculture nuts out there. And spent 9 years out there, and I actually just kind of just picked it up, just watching a little TV on a month's TV, and of course those black and white things, and that was actually a really good TV, believe it or not. Although months did have a cheap name, and grew up where my folks just stuck a transmitter radio into my crib. I listened to the Packers on WTMJ, and then later I picked up a top 40 station in Milwaukee called WOKY, and then there are nights it's like I'd be in my bed and I pretend to sleep and then take my little transistor radio and try to pick up WLS in Chicago and then WCCO in Minneapolis. And I started just venturing a little bit. And then I think one time too that I picked up a station in Little Rock, Arkansas, which played a hell of a lot better music than some of the others. So it kind of grew right there. My dad got me a weather radio, thinking I'm going to be a weatherman. But no, I took the AM/FM radio and just took it overnights and, tune into stations. You got Detroit, you got Des Moines, you got Minneapolis, Cincinnati, Cleveland, Boston, St. Louis, Denver, San Antonio, Atlanta. And I was picking up all these stations. And of course, at the same time, I was also listening to sports too. It's like, listen to Milwaukee Brewers, and I ventured over to the Chicago Cubs and listened to Milwaukee Bucks and became a Chicago Bulls fan. The Blackhawks, and then you got oh my God, it's like I was just listening to sports and originally wanted to be a play-by-play guy, and just realizing that later in life it's like I was meant to do music. I've been listening to music quite some time and just be on a wonderful journey. And of course later on too I started becoming more of a sports writing guy. I just cover sports and interview people and whatever else. It's journalistic style. And then I went to school at Harper College later on, and I took up computer science. I'm thinking, oh, computer's the way to go. And I'm like, no, I don't think so. Wrote for the paper, got on the radio station, felt like the bug was gonna bite me like Spider-Man. And hence I caught the radio bug. And then just fast forward, I spent 3 years over at WHCM, Harper College Radio, did just about everything over there, and then went on to Southern Illinois, got on WSIU, WIDB, and I pretty much developed my news chops, sports chops, my music chops, and came back up and spent 4 years in Elgin, Illinois, just working at WRMN, WJKL. I got mobile DJing, being an entertainer, MC, and I also went over to WKTA, WNVR. I spent 4 years over there, and I took a hiatus to raise a young family, and I got into audiovisual, got into management, and kind of did things just to bring in a paycheck. And then I was about to get laid off, and someone said, "You ever thought about getting back in radio?" So I listened, and my mom wanted to get into voiceovers, so I listened. I pursued that. I later did both of that up in Milwaukee for about 6 months. Worked for a voiceover company doing real estate, and I also did some work for a station which is like low power FM, but it's around Chicago, Milwaukee. I did play by play, ran the board over there, played a little bit of music. Then all of a sudden, I got a call from an Arizona consulting firm in 2007, and packed the bags and moved to Western North Dakota, and I was a consultant for KDKT Sports Radio 1410. Did that for a few years, and then a group of people from Texas came in, not needed, and I ended up going to KFYR in Bismarck. I've been there since August 2010, and I later did some voiceover work, and I did some race day announcing. I covered some play by play, for also up in Williston for a couple of years, just filling in. And I did a lot of work, and also the Mike Wagner Show came up when I had publicists out of California asked, "Are you interested in interviewing?" I says, "No, it doesn't fit the format, not interested." Second time, I asked, "Okay, what's the catch? no catch. I send you guests. Okay, send me some guests. So I practice it. And then I had Sandy Helberg on my show, and I was nervous as heck, where I was just, you know, just fumbling the fingers, I was dripping sweat and bullets and messing up the controls. And then when I got him on the air, I was a little nervous. And next thing you know, a few minutes later, it was like having a conversation with a friend. And that's how the Mike Wagner Show began. 2018, Sandy Helberg, and 1,000 great guests later, including yourself. I'm on 40 podcast platforms, Facebook, SoundCloud, Spreaker, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Anchor FM, iTunes, Google Play, Amazon, Audible, Apple Music, Podbean, Buzzsprout, Pandora, TuneIn, also YouTube, BitChute, Rumble, and more. And of course, there's other podcast platforms. Of course, themikewagnershow.com, powered by Sonic Web Studios, and brought to you by official sponsor of the Mike Wagner Show, international warring author, Molson Zia. So that's pretty much a nutshell of what I did. I packed almost 35, 40 years of broadcasting. I kind of just sped it up in maybe like, 4 minutes or something like that? Five, ten? It's like, I lost track after a while. So I'm sorry, where were you again?
Only been to you, that was like 4 minutes. I don't have my clock, but oh my God, you're a fast talker. That's
well, I try to, because everybody's time is valuable. And I realize that. And of course I do it that way because I do have energy. And I picked up a fast talking DJ from back in the day in radio. You gotta keep the listeners excited, keep them moving, keep them motivated. And if you talk slow like this, you'll put them to sleep. And if I do that, I did not do my job.
Oh my God. I'm going to have to start going really much faster then.
No, you're fine as this. You're fine as this.
Wow. Okay. So, well, you know, there were so many things that caught my eye, caught my ear. But can you talk to me? One thing I'm kind of interested in is the voiceover work. I actually put that out the other day, and I wanted to start doing that again. So then I'm just hearing this about you, and you'd spent a good amount of your career doing that. I think that's a fun career, don't you think? It's a fun thing to do.
It is a really fun thing to do. It can be on the side. It can be a profession, and you can mix both as well, too. You can mix with other ventures. And, I've been doing it since 2006, where I just did, you know, liners, commercials for various radio stations, internet, and also small businesses, podcasts, and whatever else. And I also, did some work up at KDKT for a dealership in Southwest North Dakota, where they pour like a ton of money in, and they're like, let Mike do the commercials. And of course, even like some, features on some baseball sponsorships and, big presentations, whatever else. It's like, I'll let Mike do it and everything else. So I think the big difference, being in Chicago and be up in Bismarck, is that Bismarck, you have more opportunity and there's more open spaces and everything else in Chicago. It's like you get a nice start, but you also get buried at the bottom after a while because you already have an establishment up on top. So, I do some work here, there, everything else. And of course, I got through 4 interviews today, and a couple were overseas. One was a jazz artist. The other has been in rhythm and blues for God knows how long in Germany. And then I had a guy out of Indianapolis who actually sings the national anthem at Indy Sports. And he's open up for, Bobby Brown, LL Cool J, and Vanessa Williams and the like after 7. And then, and I had an author out of Chicago too, that, just talking about, a website for midlife women. So the gamut runs just about everything. It being from music to books to, dealing with issues like PTSD, the paranormal. And of course, about brain health, that's another one. And of course, with overall health, my wife is into health, fitness, and whatever else, healing the body and everything. So, and it was also, I've had, of course, you got the paranormal, you have the spiritual, and of course, end times, that's coming up. Also the economy, like the real estate markets and, of course, world affairs, what's happening in our world, what are we doing about it? So the gamut just runs just about everything and anything. And of course, if you remember watching Tonight Show with Johnny Carson, he covered the gamut on a lot of things, a lot of topics. Dick Cavett was like that too. It's like, he'll have entertainers, but he also hit upon hard on some of the issues that went on. And I think there's also, I'm trying to think of another talk show that had that, but I'm sure it's going to come up. And Larry King, he'll cover just about everything and anything. It's like, I love listening to the guy. And of course, God bless him. He passed on along with Rush Limbaugh, two of the heavyweights that came down within a month. Or was it 3 years ago? It's like, holy cow. And everybody's having a hard time trying to fill those shoes. It's like, I think networks are still having a hard time trying to fill those shoes, I'll tell you. So.
Well, no, and I think, and if I, it looks to me like the people, like the podcasters, and the, we're like more of the voice now, because we, like you, for instance, I mean, I'm just kind of beginning again. So you have already set the bar. I mean, you every day are working. I mean, just hearing about how many people you've already talked to. And these are not just, I mean, I've looked at your list. I may not know all of them, but I've looked at who they are, and I'm like, wow, they all are very accredited, and they all have actually a real good purpose. I really like that about what I'm hearing in your shows. There is a purpose for these people, and I love that. That's what you are looking. You know, you really are there to hear that and to share that. I think that's why people gravitate to you. Mm-hmm. Do you think so?
I do agree with you in a sense. In fact, when I started the show, it was just to build my interview skills and ability, because I was just getting bored one day of, like, you know, I'd come in, I play the music, and one day I'm like, boy, something's missing. It's like, what is it? It's like, what do I do to make myself stand out? And then my wife wanted to, take a trip to the Black Hills in South Dakota. It's like, you know, pack the family in and drive down there. And so while we're driving over there, it's like, we did the usuals, did the Jefferson Memorial. And then there was also the Crazy Horse exhibit. Then we went to Devil's Tower in Wyoming, Close Encounters of the Third Kind. And then we ventured to others. There was also an actual roaming zoo, you know, in around the Rapid City area, where it's not like cage or anything. It's like free roaming. Of course, the catches, they give you a trail to drive, but you can't roll down a window, feed the animals and whatever else. And that was really exciting. Huh. And of course, you went to Hill City, where you went through hills, you went through all these shops. And we all went up to like the highest point in South Dakota in Lead, about 6,000 feet up altitude, and, you know, overlook the mountains and everything else. You could almost see with the Rocky Mountains and the landscape and whatever else. And also Deadwood was probably the coolest one, where you had, the casinos over there, the shops, and there was even a small radio station that had actual people working in there and actually playing music. And that was the best part about it. What was it? I think KSDK or KDSK, it was out of Deadwood. And that was the coolest station that I have listened to in such a long time. So,
wow.
There is everything in anybody, but, you know, getting back to the point about going to South Dakota, the idea did hit upon me. I says, okay, I think I will do a show where I just interview guests and get to know them, what their careers are like and how they got up there, being inspired, whatever else. And I just got tired of all the trash that goes on, you know, trying to be the next Howard Stern, the next Man Cow, or trying to be Rush Limbaugh, Larry King, a lot of wannabes out there. And there was just too much trash going on. And of course, you know, the quality of podcasts has really gone downhill. So why not do something where it just makes it stand out? Kind of go back to like a Johnny Carson, Dick Cavett type of format. You just interview people, talk to people, and just get to know what they're like and something unique about them. And, just talk about themselves. And of course, you know, the Mike Wagner Show, maybe about myself, Mike Wagner, but no, it's the guest. That's what it is. Just like when you're on my show, it's basically you as the Mike Wagner Show, not me. It was you. So that's how I operate it. And I was going back and forth texting while we're vacationing. And it was like, I think the whole idea was born. And of course, if you see me lift up a Denver Broncos coffee mug, I happen to get that at a Shopko for like $15 as a symbol to being in South Dakota. And of course, it's right by Denver. And then my wife bought jewelry, my kids bought toys and whatever else, and things we need last minute, something breaks. And here it is, it was on sale $15. And I found out later that the Broncos had a really bad year. That's why they downed, that's why they sold the merchandise for cheap. They had a really bad year, but it was a cool coffee mug. So I use that as a reminder to say how far it's come. So, oh my gosh, remember for some coffee too. Yeah.
Oh my god, that's hilarious. But so that was like, that was a big major change. That was a thing that, you know, catapulted you into something different, you know. Mm-hmm. Getting on that trip,
Right. And I think it's just, you know, where I was at, five states, two Canadian provinces, it was great. But then it's like, you know, having a podcast reaching worldwide, I think had more of an impact. And of course, you know, and my podcast is, you know, it's gotten into New York as well, too. And a lot of people in New York were listening to that, in New Jersey. And of course, you had, you know, in Toronto, I've had people in Los Angeles, of course, you had Chicago, and you had Miami, Dallas, Des Moines, and then up in Seattle, people were listening, and out in Portland, you know, people were listening. And then you had overseas, of course, you had India, Pakistan, you had London, Paris, and then a good portion of Germany. And so you also had in Japan, Australia, New Zealand. So, and of course, when I said 40 podcast platforms in over 100 countries, I actually did my research one day where I just simply counted, okay, how many podcasts I'm on. I says, okay, 40, 41, 42. And, you know, I just counted that, and I counted the countries, even if it's one person was listening, say on Ooga Booga Island or whatever it is, I was counting through all the channels. And yeah, it was like, yeah, 100, 101, 102, 103. And, you know, just keep counting and counting and writing it down. It says, yeah, that is true. I actually took some time to account. It felt like just half a day I was trying to go through all that stuff. So I wasn't, and when I say 40 podcast platforms from 100 countries, I wasn't blowing smoke on my rear end. I mean, it was true. I took the time to just go through and how many I hit. That was the whole thing. So
That's amazing. And so, I was just thinking about this today. Do you ever get, do people text you, email you, do you get a lot of messages, because you've been doing this so long and it's so far wide reach that you are?
Not during a show, as you know, I don't take phone calls, texts, or anything like that because my system is not wired for it. I don't want any crazy lunatics coming in trying to ruin a show, stalking, or making rude comments, threats, or anything like that. You know, just like, you know, texting, trying to get people to answer questions, and it's like that stuff is off limits. It's like let the guest talk, and of course, they want to do it afterwards. I post it, and then they'll type in the comments section. I've gotten a few texts from people and Facebook messages, emails, and whatever else. And you know, the majority is good, but then you got a few crackpots out there. And of course, the best thing you do is just, well, ignore them. They're having a bad hair day. So you just have that. You learn how to ignore all the bad comments, the ignorant people, and whatever else. It's like, you know, they try to ruin your life for a reason. It's like, you know, they just have no life whatsoever. They try to run. It's like they have no life. It's nothing better to just like, come on, get off your ass and do something. That's the thing. I mean, get away from the computer, do something. You know, it's like there's more life than just sitting behind a computer screen, guys.
And you're behind the screen a lot, but I can tell that you have, you like to spend time with your family. You have a life, and I you can tell that. I just think you're a really good person. You just have a real good presence about you. When so you were did a lot of sports, and it's interesting. My brother was when we were growing up, he was always into sports writing, and he was with Dallas and the sports sections all the time. And it was interesting. I always thought of him as, he's always into the numbers, the sports numbers, was
Oh,
that kind of
the
like,
beloved stats. Yes, the beloved stats. Yeah. Oh my God, that was like the holy grail of sports. It's like, you know, even the Sunday's paper, it's like looking at the weekly Bible. It's like you pray. It's like, you know, Lord, you know, go, you know, sports Lord, give us the wisdom to understand the stats, and hopefully nobody falls off the face of the earth, or you know, who goes up and down, everything. Help us interpret best, and help them have a great week, whatever. Amen. You know, stuff like that. So,
What do you think has changed since you've been doing this since your little boy, basically, it sounds like. What a cute story that is, like the transistor radios and all that. And I've heard a lot of stories like that. And I remember like the transistor radios and things. So I understand where you're coming from. But what do you see as the big difference compared to just 10 years ago? How do you perceive what's happened in 10 years?
I think the big difference is obviously Facebook. It's like Facebook has clearly, you know, annihilated MySpace, and MySpace was a big thing with social media, posted pictures, everybody was happy. And then Facebook was designed for college students just to interact. And all of a sudden it got to be a point where it's like, you know, classmates hooked up and you met new people, and someone you haven't seen in a long time, and it became a part where it's like, you know, hey, you're in radio, I'm in radio. Excuse me. And there's also that, hey, I like this too. And of course, you know, excuse me, you had your disagreements and everything else, but that was civil. But now obviously Facebook has gotten like to be the wild, wild west, but there was this more interaction and more things in common, more opportunities have opened up. And of course, you know, just more room to grow in everything like that. But of course, a downside to it where it's just like, you know, you don't, you know, try to get hold of a national presence, number one, and everything like that. You know, there's always a downside to it. But I think this is really open up a way. It's like you get to really expand and reach your audience, and they get to expand reach your audience. And I had a guest on my show, and you know, he said there's no such thing as number one these days when it comes to, you know, being a profession. It's like everybody helps everybody, even like, you know, even number ones ask for help, even from a number one or, you know, a beginner or whatever, or who's never been into business. So you basically just, you know, just build your own number one, and you get a group of people. And basically, you remember that commercial with the shampoo? It's like, you know, oh, the shampoo is so great. I told two of my friends, and they told two of their friends, and two told their friends, and so on, and so on, and so on, and so on. That's how the whole concept is that you just get two people to listen. They like it. They tell two of their friends, and they tell two of their friends, and they two tell their friends. And that's how you just start building. It's almost like a web in a way.
Yeah, it's very, very interesting. Speaking of web, that's a good time to say that we are coming right here, right now from Web Radio Network. And we want to thank Stan Fikes for being our producer and for this amazing web radio network that you are on right now, Mike Wagner, on Spreaker Live. Did I say it fast enough, I hope? go fast.
You're perfect. I like your style the way it is. And one advice to you, Mercedes, don't change a thing.
Okay. I kind of ramble a little bit, though, so I know that I'll listen to myself and be like, oh, I just kind of talk a little bit. But no, you know, I understand and I appreciate what you're saying. I'm just so excited you're here. And that's why it's so funny that I'm listening to your story, because that's exactly what it feels like for me, that I just really wanted to get back to talking to people and just find out, you know, how they got to be who they are. And I love talking to people that are hosts of shows, because, you know, usually they're the ones that are talking or listening. No one's asking them how did they get there. And I just think that's so fascinating, because, you know, it's really kind of cool. Like, I mean, what if you're able to do that and really get a lot of great people on, there's usually a reason for that. And I just think it's fascinating to talk to everybody about it. One thing I wanted to ask you about was your music. So you said that you, what do you play? Do you play guitar, piano? Do you sing? What do you produce? What do you do?
Well, basically when it comes to music, back in the day, I played records, where it was like the turntables. Then you had, the reel-to-reel, yeah, those carts, which are like little 8-tracks you put in, and you press a button, you play music, play a liner, whatever else, and then you have the cassettes, and then venture into CDs, and now it's all run by computers as well, too. It's all in the computer system. It just goes like, you know, button bar, 1, 2, 3, everything. You just let the computer do the work. You can control it. You can let it run. You can pause it and everything. You can, like, you know, add on the fly and whatever else. I mean, I actually, you know, played a little bit of trumpet back in the day, because, you know, you're required to play an instrument. So it's like I tried piano. It didn't work. Guitar didn't work. And then I wanted to be like this Doc Severinsen. Remember Doc Severinsen? He was on The Tonight Show. He had those flashy, glimmering outfits. It's like those sequins and all that. And had like a silver trumpet that just shined. You know, required sunglasses. Like, you know, I wanted to be like him. And, you know, sadly, Doc Severinsen retired. It's like, I've been wanting to see Doc Severinsen in person and wouldn't mind having him on the show. But, you know, one day he could go soon. And I wanted to be like him, Chuck Mangione and Al Hurt. But it's just like, you know, I just got bored after a while. And then I just started, you know, listening to music, following groups. And of course, when it comes to music and everything, it's like, is that, you know, my mom and dad had, like, you know, just record sprawl all over the floor. You know, you had the Beatles, you had the Stones, Willie Nelson, Ray Price, and I think a little bit of jazz as well, too. I think with Buddy Rich, Miles Davis, and then you had your Eddie Arnold, and I think Ray Price, Eddie Fisher. So it's like, you know, the list went on and on and on, you know, listening to every format and listening on an old wood table radio with that rich finish and that beautiful sound. I listened to that and just go through every station possible. And then, of course, later on, I start getting into to rock, and then got into, like, you know, Pink Floyd, Genesis, Rush, Van Halen, yes, and the prog era and all that. And then I started experimenting with new wave, alternative, and let's see, rap. It's like every format I've done, I experience it, you know, big band, classical, jazz, and everything like that. It's like the list goes on and on and on. And of course, I still got to build my stereo collection once again, and trying to find a place in the studio so I could put up a turntable that the whole family got me. And of course, trying to find a CD player, my cassette player. And of course, you know, I found an old AM/FM portable radio to put back up and just listen to music again. It's like, I can't go back to the days of the old console. It's like that big Zenith, you know, have that 25-inch TV. Then he had a stereo, that full rich sound, cassette deck, and everything. It's like, boy, I long for that in my office one day.
That is so cool. And, you know, it's coming back. Like, they are bringing those things back now. It's really neat to be able to see albums again and things. I just love those album covers, you know, and you could put them on your wall, and they're just so neat, you know. And then I'm glad they're kind of coming back.
Oh yeah. And in fact, I even have those double albums you can just sit through and you look through liners while your music is playing. And the last album I got, it was given to me, is my daughter Queen. A Day at the Races. They had I'm trying to remember what it was, but It was like from a garage sale, but you know, brand new, and got to listen to that a few times. And I'm trying to figure out what's the next album I want to get. Other than that, you know, I just pull off a music from YouTube and just create a little playlist and just relax at times too. So, you know, going back to classic rock, the progressive rock, and some of the music of the 70s, and love Gordon Lightfoot. And I was in kind of mourning when he passed away a few days ago. And you know, I played, you know, Sundown, Edmund Fitzgerald, and then he had, what was it, Carefree Highway, and If You Could Read My Mind, and some of the other classics, you know, going back,
if you could read my mind.
That's right, yes, and of course, fellow Canadian, too, and the story behind the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald was that my mom and dad were up in the UP around that time when it happened. They were vacationing, and then up where we lived in Racine, it's like, you know, we really got wind of the news that there was a big accident, and the whole maritime community around that area was devastated, you know, when the news came out. And then the song came out, and it was just like, holy cow, that just, you know, just brought flashback right there with the Edmund Fitzgerald. It's like, you know, sad song, but boy, he told a really good story.
God bless Gordon. I know, and his voice, and he was a storyteller. I love the storyteller songs. You know, that was one of the things you asked me the other day about who was the, you know, your inspirations, and I'm like, duh. After I was done, like, John Denver, and John, like, I said Winona and Tanya Tucker, but I'm like, Mercedes. Okay, that was like. But no, John Denver and Johnny Cash.
Johnny Cash. Yeah, that was my folks' favorite. Johnny Cash albums all over the freaking place. That Rebel Highway sound with Johnny Cash, Waylon Jennings, Willie Nelson, Kris Kristofferson. And I think there was quite a few from those lines. That was like the early Highwaymen that I was accustomed to listening to. You know, not the country you hear today, or the old time country. They'll listen to Buck Owens from time to time, but it was the Highwayman sound that really got me in a country that type. I really love listening to.
Wow! And have you happened to seen one of his last videos he made, before he passed on? And he's talking about, it was so sad. It was like this video where he's getting older, I'll have to find if you haven't seen it yet. It was this beautiful song, and I think it was about God. It was talking about understanding God or something, but it was him as an older man, and I was just crying. It was such a great song. I'll find it for you. I don't think you've seen it.
I don't think I have, but I remember listening
Beautiful.
to the last album he ever did, and I think the final song he did was his version of Hurt by Nine Inch Nails, and he did a
That's it.
really good version of it. Hurt, yes, I'm
Yeah.
like, wow, he did better than Nine Inch Nails, to be honest with you.
That's the one. That's the one I'm talking about. The video for that is like, oh my God, it's so good. I was in tears. It was so beautiful. That song and that story about that Nine Inch Nails and all that. That was beautiful. So I thought that was interesting, but I thought of your question way after the show. Sorry. Tell me a little bit about your faith. You have a strong faith. Can you talk about that?
Well, I actually grew up in a Catholic church, for quite some time, and then I kind of questioned one day the fact that why are we praying to God and or why are we praying to saints instead of God, like a direct link. And of course, the priest couldn't really answer the question. And of course, they're the only ones that had the Bible. They think they knew. But then I l learned later on that, anybody can have access to the Bible. It's like, my wife's a strong Bible believer, and, she reads passages and everything else. And, what she went through as a child was just, led her to the Lord. And that was the same thing for me, too. It's like, I was actually a total wreck, back in the day with, being bullied, picked on, abused, and whatever else. And then I was just searching for something. And then I got talked into by my sister and coming to a retreat. And I thought, okay, I'm not gonna have time for this. And it turned out that I ended up getting saved back in 84. It was like the week before the Super Bowl. And that's how I remember it, because I had somebody ask me after I got saved. He goes, "Wait, how do you think the 49ers are gonna do?" Well, it says, "Well, God willing, they're probably gonna win." So that's how I remember that. And then it just came to mind the fact that, well, actually, I was given a talent, being on the radio, having a voice, and I disregarded it. I thought it was just, a bunch of crap. And if you heard my voice back in fifth grade, it was like Mickey Mouse just screeching out of chalkboards. Like, that's how annoying it was, just like that. And just come to the fact that that God created me for a reason. God had me on this earth for a reason. So that's why I have the Bible verses up there. It's like I worked in a ministry for about 8, 9 years, and still had some friends in it. So it's like I tried post it when Facebook was up there. It's like I tried football scores, tried jokes, nothing, nothing, nothing. Then I put up a Bible verse. Boy, people ate it up like crazy. And that's how the whole thing started.
Wow. They loved it. They actually were. Oh, that's nice.
Oh my gosh, yes. And it's just like, people, and someone said, yeah, people were actually searching for something and you provide the answer. I'm like, I didn't know that, but thanks. I wasn't trying for attention. I was just trying something, just to get on Facebook, trying to get attention, likes, whatever else. And it's like, I think I just hit upon something. Then I expanded to doing some news, current events, and then I put up a funny cartoon in the morning. So I put up a little funny cartoon, funny video, something inspiring, put up first, wish everybody a good morning. And then, of course, I got known for like the word of the day. I'll just put up a word. It's like a word game. Like, say, let's say I'm going to throw it to you, chicken. What's the first thing that comes to mind? Chicken.
Nuggets. I
There you go.
saw that today.
Yes.
Hair. You had hair, and I'm like, do.
Hey, the thing is, there's no right or wrong answers. And the only rule I had was don't put down other people's answers and don't say, oh, that's a bad answer. It's like everybody has an answer. Everybody's got their own reasons. It can be like, just, one word can be before, it can be after. You can add a few words to it, you begin, middle, end. You can also just turn to a little story or a little micro sermon. It's like, however you want to do it, there's just no rules. You just simply play along with this. You don't put down another person, and you don't get discouraged if somebody else got the right answer. It can also be a popularity contest. So I just have all that. It's like, that's what's nice about Facebook. You can get really creative as you want to get engaged with other people too. So that is a nice part about it. It's like 5,000 people. So what
Wow.
journey? I think I started 2009 around Facebook, 8, 7. Oh gosh, I can't remember.
Wow. You did all that. It was just started just like that. Wow.
Correct. Yes. And of course, you couldn't do it on MySpace. It was the pictures and whatever else. And then I tried it one day. I put up a verse. It's like, just caught like wildfire. It's like, you never know what you're doing there. So
that's amazing. I didn't know, that's so cool. And so then when you started doing that, were you back? You weren't back on the radio at that time, or you weren't doing the show, or you were doing different radio?
I think it was, let's see, I think I got on in 2010, and I was on KDKT at the time, and I also did some other work, like voiceover work, and I ventured into internet radio, and I discovered that there's people listening in London, where I was just doing on a volunteer basis, just record a show, send it over, and I realized I had an audience in London, then an audience in Paris, then I had an audience in Germany, and then they had Scotland, Ireland, and all of a sudden, it's like people are looking at me like, wow, what a great American voice, and realize I have a market out there. And so I started doing internet radio and put them on different stations and then start picking up more. They start going to my Facebook, and then it's got to a point after a while where it's like they try to listen to capware.com, and then people couldn't listen. So I was encouraged to do a podcast. I figured I'd just do a few episodes. I just started doing on, it was five podcast platforms, went to 10, and now 20, 30, and it's up to over 40 podcast platforms, still growing, 100 countries, still growing, and I'm looking to add a few more networks, God willing. So I think I pretty much just built to a point where it's like it's being heard all over, and what's nice about podcasts is that you record an episode, it stays there forever and ever. Radio, it's gone. That's the big difference. And I get people still listening to my old episodes from back in 2018 and still getting traction, believe it or not. It's still getting traction.
Wow. That's great. You know, that that's still going, you know, I love that. So what is it that, how do people, I know how I found you, but how does a normal person submit to you? How do you find people to be on?
Well, actually, people come to me. That's how it's done. People have come to me, the PR reps, you have artists, they come to me and offshoots of artists and friends of friends and those connected. It's like, they refer. It's like, okay, come on my show. And I think of all the thousands and over 1,000 guests I've had, I've only reached out just from my own about maybe just 10. That's it. It's like, wow. They've all come over and I ask them, it's like, how'd you listen to my show? And they say, I listened to an episode of this, an episode of that, or someone told me to, listen to your show, and they listen to a certain episode and whatever else. And then I know you through KO as well, too, just an amazing lady. And of course, my question is besides KO, how'd you hear about the Mike Wagner show? I'm going to throw the question back at you here.
I didn't know about you until KO, but then when she brought you up, and I'm like, because literally, like I kind of said, I really had been out of this world, not really listening until about 2 years ago when I started to, I wasn't even on anything internet. I started to listen to KBS with Kev Dave Baker after I found Bill Bean and the Warrior Mode, because we were getting help or getting prayers from Bill Bean. And so they said, listen to the show, we'll put you on the prayer list. And so I was put on the prayer list. And so I started to listen to the show, and that's how I started. Then I, from then I found KBS with Kev Baker, and then I found Paranormal Portal, Brent Thomas. And then next thing you know, I'm like people's moderators. I'm just like, it's just like, boom, I'm right back in it. So now I'm expanding, and then all of a sudden KO, I find her, and she told me about you. And so I'm like, okay, I'll look at this. And so I'm like, wow, no, your show is really great. And I love it. I can listen to these things. I listen to while I'm driving my car, and I have it going.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm always listening to something. And what I like about listening to you is because I actually like all the people so far that you've talked to you. I mean, let's say just today, you said before the show started, how many people have you talked to today, Mike, already? Interviewed?
I have done four today. So I've had them on my show. And then, coming up as well, too, I'll be out of town for a couple of days. But I actually have about one guest, two guests. It all depends on the day. But there are days I do take off to spend with family. And I set aside certain time and I can just step away for a little bit. And my dad was also a master at, finding time, because he was always on the road all the time, going from three states, checking on mobile gas stations. He worked as a regional manager, but he always found time. It's like, I got a little bit of time, let's do something. I got a little bit of time. It's like, you find ways to, squeeze some time in. And that sort of thing too. So it's like everybody assumes it's every day. It's like, whenever they can do it, whenever I can do it. And, right now as we speak, it's like I've got, guests come up around July or so. So that's how far it goes. And then I was on a program where I got told that I got booked about maybe like 4 or 5 months in advance. I says, I'm not worried about it. It's like, do what you got to do. It's like, I'm not top priority. It's like, you get me on, great. If not, I completely understand. I'm not out to get all the attention in the world and all that. It's like, I just let things happen. And pretty much what I do speaks for itself.
I love that. I agree. I think you do. I think it's just, it kind of just comes right out of you that you're just a real guy doing a real job, really helping people and getting their information out and their, I don't know, their life missions out, which is important, I think, to talk about. Today I caught one about the lady that she was helping with foster care. Like, mm-hmm. I guess she was grew up in foster. So that one popped up for me today, and I was able to watch a little of that. And she's got a book on your show.
One of her Facebook friends, that's right. She's an amazing lady, and she's a fellow South Dakota as well, too, down by Yankton and around Vermilion, and that's a home of University of South Dakota. I was going to say South Dakota State, but that's in Brookings along the east side. But, down there by Sioux Falls, that's University of South Dakota area.
Yeah. Well, it was really interesting, and I commented. I might have shared, too. I'm not sure what I was doing. I was busy doing a bunch of things today. I will say, I hope you catch, I did one of the clip, a little bit of our conversation. I added a bunch of video to it and a lot of stuff. So I think it was interesting. I went along with the conversation that we were having, and it gave me a chance to bring out some of the paranormal investigation footage that we had covered just by what you were asking questions of me. So I really thank you for that opportunity to be able to share that for myself as well as for the for Becky McKitty.
McKitty. It's yeah. Like got your tongue, huh?
It's a hard one, but I know that her team is putting on the Paracon here for the first time in Tucson, and so they really want to get some information out. So because of your questions and our conversation, I was able to actually kind of facilitate some of that today and talk about things. So I really appreciate that. I appreciate you actually having some really great questions. I hope I'm having good questions now that I'm talking to a great question maker.
I say you're doing a really good job based on what you're doing. Of course, things get better and better as time goes on. And, talking about great questions, I had a guest on my show that followed the Rolling Stones for quite a long time, Chris McKittrick, and he said that the key to a successful interview is ask questions that have never been asked before. It's like you got to think outside the box when it comes to questions. And of course, he was working with the Rolling Stones, and they go to press conferences and they got bored of the same questions. Tell us about your new album. When are you going to retire? Where are you going to tour? What's Keith Richards going to do? It's like the same questions over and over and over. And there are days it's like, they're okay with it. And there are days they'll goof off. And there are days like, that's a stupid question and all that. And the trick is to really get them to talk. It's like, ask a question that has never been asked before. So you got to do your research. You got to look up online. You got to go to every source possible. It's like old school journalism. That's the whole thing. You got to go to your sources. You got to verify. You got to talk to people. You got to go to a library, do research, and you sit down, you think, you prep questions. You think about, okay, what's this person going to do? What's next? You listen in what they're going to say, and you kind of just, either write it down or get it in your head. And of course, I hate to say that I've listened to some podcast hosts. It's like they just read off a list of questions. It's like, my God, a fifth grader can do that easily. But, it's just like it's kind of like a lost art. And I basically have watched, like Walter Cronkite, Floyd Cowper, and Her reason on the big three networks and they're interviewing people. It's like, you know, they don't have a list of questions. It's like they think and prepare, research their guests and, you know, just have a thoughtful conversation, not just a bunch of fluff. So that's one of the things I think that I encourage more podcasters to do is just like that you ask questions that have never been asked before. And I think so it makes a good podcast.
Let me think of one for you. Let's see. Have you ever been asked, do you believe in aliens?
That is an interesting question. Well, if I believed in aliens, I probably got taken right now and met Elvis at a donut shop in Michigan. But of course, you know, there's, you know, aliens in many forms. And of course, you know, some say that aliens, you know, come in spirits, aliens come in demons. And of course, you know, aliens, you know, sent in from God. So, you know, I'm doing some research on that. And of course, you know, things are there for a reason. So it's like, you know, they may be saints coming down and, you know, checking things. They may take people, go to heaven and everything else. There's all kinds of theories out there when it comes to aliens and everything. But the only thing I can say is, if I really believe in aliens, take me to Elvis Presley at a donut shop in Michigan. Then I'll be convinced. So,
well, I mean, I think what you would see that you brought up the point about, you know, I think it's fascinating when you look at the research or even the photos, the art, the paintings of, you know, the old days where in those paintings, it looks like spacecrafts or in the Bill Bean talks about this a lot. I know a lot of people do, but just the fact that a lot of the lights or the descriptions in the Bible actually were lights in the sky or chariots in the sky. I mean, it seems kind of interesting that the correlation and some and a lot of the pictures and a lot of the petroglyphs show that type of thing in the sky. So I have a feeling you're pretty much right on where there is definitely a correlation and connection to that. And I guess in time we'll find Elvis, we'll find out the truth. Once we are to find out, you know, where we go after this life, then we'll find it out. I'm sure.
And it's funny you mentioned about aliens and everything else. I had a guy on my show, which are going to be aired later on. He's from the Flat Earth Society and saying that, you know, the Earth is actually flat. It's just covered by a dome. And it's also, you know, having a magnetic force. You can't go over it and everything like that. And of course, I asked a couple of questions like, you know, if the Earth was flat, would cats knock it off? He goes, no, it's being held by a magnetic force that no one can get through and everything else. It's not just Earth. It could be like, you know, millions of Earths, planets, galaxies, and everything else. And I asked a question that we had a conversation about whether the Earth is round or it's flat. And someone asked that if the Earth was flat, we live in Chicago, you'd be able to pick up WGN from Japan. And he said, with the technology, it could be done. And show me this. It's just like an exaggerated 2,000 miles, but it's not really that far away. So, well, that'll be coming up, and we'll see how many people get convinced. And then I had someone else on talking about dinosaurs, where dinosaurs actually did exist, and there was also you see all these you know movies about the Leviathan and all the pterodactyls. It's like you know there's a Leviathan, like the Loch Ness, that still exists. Could be the last one. And of course, you also got, you know, some of the condors. It could be a last one. So it's like, you know, it did exist. It just goes by a different name. So I'm learning a lot from a lot of the people out there. And of course, with the advent of social media, so many podcasts out there, you can get more information to anything than ever before. You never got that from ABC, CBS, NBC, or PBS or anything like that. Now you get like so many networks with so many points of view and so many angles and everything else. It's also getting easier and easier to dissect the information and forming your own opinion. And of course, you know, nowadays it's like, you know, you watch a show, it's no longer on the big networks. It's like Sci-Fi or Lifetime or say like with, or CNN or like, you know, Home Shopping Network or even like AMC, everything like that, or Stars, you know, all these networks out there. And of course, you know, some people complain that there's so many channels and nothing going on, just like the Bruce Springsteen song back in the day, 57 channels and nothing on. Now with cable TV, satellite, and all that, Dish Network, a million channels and there's still nothing on. So
that's so crazy. We don't even have TV, and I feel like I've got too much on my YouTube. Like,
oh,
I'm
my
like
gosh.
Overload on YouTube.
You know something? It's too bad I can't to be able to turn on my my video and all that. But of course, you know, every time I show my phone there, say I take it with an A mobile device, this is pretty much my TV right near. I don't need like a 50-inch, 100-inch, 200-inch TV. It's like, you really want something? It's like, you got your laptop, you got a tablet, you got your phone. Next thing you know, you'll be watching Star Wars on your Dick Tracy wristwatch. You know, 3 hours, if you can hold up like this, you know, you're a pro if you can sit through Star Wars like that. So
I know, you know, exactly. Like, that's what I feel like I'm, you know, at least I have that. I mean, I do that, and I think that's fine, you know. This is such a, I hate that it's almost over, but there's something I wanted to say. It was so interesting. My youngest son had come in a few minutes ago during this. He was real quiet, but as he left, you started talking about the flat earth people, and he is the biggest researcher on everything. And one of the things he researches and listens to is about the flat earth and their theories. And he talks to me about it all the time. So I'm going to have him listen to that show, because they have huge teams of people out that are supposed to go on expeditions to go and try to find this, you know, find these things. But so I think it's interesting that you were talking about that. I like all those subjects. So the Kev D. Baker, who I was talking about with you earlier, all of his shows, he had shows about everything, like so incredible, like so many listeners, because he would talk about the NESA. He was from Scotland, so he would talk about all of these different things and, you know, just really bringing out as much truth as possible. Just let us hear the evidence. Let us all just kind of talk about it, you know, why hide things? So I love that that's kind of your format too. So it's probably why God's hooking me up with you, because, you know, I needed another person like to be able to trust some opinions and trust your guests and stuff like I did with Kev. So thank you for that. I appreciate that.
And of course, you think as well too. And of course, speaking of guests and everything, you've listened to a good portion of my shows, and I thank you for that as well too. I encourage everybody to check out the Mike Wagner Show at themikewagnershow.com, powered by Sonic Web Studios, and brought to you by official sponsor of the Mike Wagner Show, international warring author Mia Molson Zia, also on Spotify, iHeart, YouTube, BitChute, Rumble, 40 podcast platforms are on there as well too. Of all the guests that you listen to on my show, which one was your favorite guest and what stood out and why?
Well, let's see. There was this one guy, and he was talking about this music. It was Sound Frequency, but
Scott Howard?
Yeah. It was Sound Frequency. I think his name was Howard. Yeah.
Scott Howard. That's the one. I had him on my show a few times. Amazing guy. I love his music. You know what he reminds me of? Cat Stevens. He's got that sound, he's got that presence. And of course, the things he sings about reminds me of Cat Stevens. That was like the first record my mom and dad gave me. It was my, sixth or seventh birthday. Morning Has Broken, Cat Stevens. First 45 I've gotten for my birthday. And I've collected singles and albums ever since. It started with Morning Has Broken by Cat Stevens. It made me think
of
it.
Yeah, that's so great. Well, so yeah, your shows, I mean, it's like you can all, and you know, it's neat because you just put them on pause. So if I have to do something else and I just come push it back on and I can just continue play, you know, so it's really neat. I love the format of your format, and this format is on YouTube and different things, because, or podcast, because we can do that now. It's just like you just leave for a second and come back and it starts right there again. It makes it easy. Mm-hmm.
it does. And that's why I like to record my shows and play back a later date. So it's just like, you know, in fact, when I was doing one of my earlier shows and did it live, my really good interview with Tammy Locke almost got lost because we had a power outage, and luckily it came back on. But I came very close to losing that interview. And I said to myself, I am pre-recording my shows from now on. And of course, if you make a mistake, technical difficulties, it's like a guest doesn't show up. It's like, you know, the best thing about recording a show, it's that, well, if the guest doesn't show up, then you've got some other things to take care of. It's not like, you know, I can scramble and find a guest. And it's like, you know, you can just do some other things on your downtime before your next guest. Or if the only guest is, well, okay, if he doesn't show in about 30 minutes, it's like, you know, shut down, go do something else. So that's the best part about pre-recording a show.
Well, you know, that was what I was doing prior to this, and I was having fun with that, and got to Barry Fitzgerald. I don't know if you know of him from the Ghost Hunters International. You know, he was the first one on my first season, let's say, and I thought that was just like, wow, how did I get that guy? It was just amazing. With such amazing guys. So I've got two amazing guys, my first guests on my shows. But I loved making that. And then, but the more I started to do it, I thought, wow, I really, you know, because I would like to do live. So I tried to do it myself and was having a great deal of difficulty trying to get it going and, you know, be everything. And so then that's when I ended up being on the another one of the web network, web radio network shows, Everything Under the Moon. And so that's how I met Stan. And then I just really liked him. And so to me, I've kind of got the best of both worlds in a way as I start, because I can do what you're doing, and then I can come here on Mondays and do a live show, and Stan takes care of that. So
He's doing a great job, by the way, too. So, Stan, you're doing a great job.
yeah, Stan, you're great. And we're going to close right now. And so, you know, and he has a lot of shows. He's like a ooh, and he's got a really great paranormal pod. And he's got another Paracom coming up, and I'm going to have him on this show, Mike. And I'm going to have to talk to him because I never get to talk to Stan about all he's doing. So I thought that would be kind of fun.
I think
Okay.
that'd be fun behind the scenes. I think that's a really good one, y'all. You know, behind the scenes, what they do and everything. It's like, give them a voice. You know, it's like, you know, they do all the
Yeah.
work, they do a great job. It's like, put them up front for a change.
Yeah, I think he has his own show too, I believe. He's on the ball over there on that web radio network. Well, I just have to say so grateful and so happy that you were on with me, Mike Wagner, from the Mike Wagner Show. I really appreciate this, and I hope all of our fans or all the people that are listeners go to your show and check him out, and be sure to put like and, you know, message him, listen to the format, be sure to share. And again, we are so thankful here for us having our first show with Mike Wagner himself tonight on the Mercedes Lucky Benedict Show. Is there anything you would like to talk about before we hang up and say goodnight, Mike?
Well, first of all, I just want to say a big thank you for having me on my sh on the show, Mercedes. It's been great. You're a terrific host, and I gotta say that. And I wish you all the best. And of course, just go to MikeWagnerShow.com, and also make sure you subscribe to YouTube, BitChute, Rumble as well too. Follow me on Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. And also, don't forget to donate as well too. I love donations. You can send a generous donation to my PayPal account, paypal.me/MikeWagnerVoiceover. That's paypal.me/MikeWagnerVoiceover. You can also send a generous donation to my Anchor FM channel. That's anchor.fm/TheMikeWagnerShow/support. That's anchor.fm/TheMikeWagnerShow/support. It can also go to themikewagnershow.com. You can click on the PayPal button. And of course, you can also buy me a coffee at buymeacoffee.com and also Glow FM. So you can also buy my merchandise on amazon.com. And if you're interested, just send me an email, shoot me a text link, whatever it is, and then I'll go and like send you my merchandise. I have t-shirts, I got the hoodies, and I also got the tote bags, and I got the ever popular pillow, which has been a big bestseller. So there's a lot of ways you can support as well too. So themikewagnershow.com and Mercedes, just want to say a very big thank you for your time, for having me on the show. You've been great, and I look forward to being on your show again soon. You're welcome to come on mine anytime. Just stay in touch, keep me up to date, and definitely wish you all the very best.
Thank you. Thank you so much. You're just the best. And happy birthday to you this week.
Thank
Happy,
you.
happy
Thank you.
birthday.
Thank you. And I'll take chocolate cake, by the way, with a seven-course steak dinner too. That's my ultimate.
Hey,
So
they could buy you coffee and a cake.
there
Somebody
you go.
buy them
That's
a
the best one. Yeah.
coffee. All right. Well, thank you so much. And everyone here at the Mercedes Lucky Benedict Show appreciates you. And thank you to Web Radio Network. Streaming live on Spreaker. Everyone have a blessed week, and we'll see you next week here, right again on Monday nights. Thank you so much for joining us here on the show, streaming live on Spreaker and the Web Radio Network. This is the Mercedes Lucky Benedict Show. You can find me on Facebook and YouTube. Please enjoy my music.
Every time that I've ever been knocked down, every time that I've ever gotten back up to face another round, I let go of my fear and put my pride down. I'm building my castle in heaven, climbing over mountains, the lessons I've been given, I'm building my castle in heaven, yeah. My castle is not made of mortar or stone. My castle is made from the seeds that I've sown. I'm building castles in heaven, yeah. Every challenge, every mistake, every time that I choose faith, I grow strong. Moving on and on and on. And I'm building my castle in heaven. I'm climbing over mountains. The lessons I've been given, mine. I'm building my castle in heaven. My castle is not made of mortar or stone. My castle is made from the seeds that I've sown. I'm building castles in heaven. Every moment, every day, every word that you say, every step along your way, every time that you make a mistake. Every good deed that you do, each time that you win, each time that you lose, each time that you walk, you walk in another shoe. Where we grow strong, when we learn to forgive and we right our wrong.